You are now listening to Discover Your Potential with renowned radio talk show host and certified holistic practitioner, Cindy Gilman. So listen, participate, be inspired. Know that you can discover your potential. Here she is, Cindy Gilman.
Day here, finally here up on the East Coast. It warmed up a bit, and here we are, locked in our houses. I know it's been a tough time. I want to read something to you, as I always do at the beginning of the program. This is a creed for every day and every dream. May you find serenity and tranquility in a world you may not always understand. May the pain you have known and the conflict you have give you the strength to walk through life, facing each new situation with courage and optimism. Always know that there are those whose love and understanding will always be there, even when you feel most alone. May you discover enough goodness in others to believe in a world of peace. May a kind word, a warm smile be yours every day of your life. And may you give these gifts as well as receive them. Remember the sunshine when the storm seems unending. Teach love and let love embrace you as you go into the world. May the teachings of those you admire or admired become a part of you so that you may call upon them. Remember, those whose lives you have touched and who have touched yours are always a part of you. May you find enough inner strength to determine your own worth by yourself and not to be dependent on another's judgment of your accomplishment. And always, yes, always, feel loved. And I think that's very appropriate for what we are dealing with in today's world. I do hope, first of all, I want to thank you for letting me in on your Sunday, wherever you're listening from. If you'd like to be a part of the program and call in, our number is 888-627-6008. And I'll repeat that through the program. We do have a few gifts to give away today. So remember, 888-627-6008. I hope all of you are at least following some of the rules that Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx have put together for you. When you go out, wear a mask. I think you might remember the last guest on this program, Karina, who turned her dressmaking company into a workroom of creating masks, over 3,000 to be given to all our heroes in the medical profession that are dealing with this virus day and night. And to all of you who go to work, to all of the first responders, to everyone in the medical field and people who work in relation to the medical field. We love you, we pray for you, we honor you, and you are appreciated. So wear your mask, wear your gloves, make sure everything you bring into your home is wiped off with either sanitizer or those disposable cloths. Today we have a wonderful program. I want to dedicate this to someone who is no longer here on this earth, but is in spirit, and I've been feeling his presence all day. Jim Henson was a genius entrepreneur. He brought new light to the world of children's entertainment, and then to children of all ages. And his memory lingers on. I'm sorry, it keeps sending me these messages. He brought together some of the greatest creative minds to work with him. So, Jim, we love you for what you gave us in the world. And as a friend of mine said, the show must go on, and it does. One of those wonderful creative minds, a creative actor, director, a person who creates his own characters, is Bill Beretta. Bill, I welcome you to Discover Your Potential. Is Bill there? I think we lost him. Doug?
Hello?
Bill?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
I can. I thought I lost you for a moment.
Oh, no. Just at the right time.
Oh, wow. So did you hear of what I said, or were you gone right from the beginning?
No, I did, and actually the first thing I said was, what a lovely introduction. Thank you. That was incredible. That was wonderful.
Well, it was well-deserved. You are one of the most highly creative people, and I'm just thrilled that you're spending this hour with me, for the listeners, and for all the creative young people that may be listening. You've been in this field for quite a while.
Yes, a little while. Almost heading for the 30-year mark.
Now, before you did the work that you are doing now, we talked a bit when we were setting up this time. You mentioned mm-hmm. that you studied in New York.
I did, yes. I studied at, my first, I always wanted to be in the entertainment industry in some way, and preferably I wanted to entertain people as an actor. That was the thing that seemed most obvious to me, mm-hmm. the thing I seemed to enjoy the most. And so I studied with a great teacher in Philadelphia named Sidney Kay, mm-hmm. and Sidney Kay was a student of the late, great Sanford Meisner, who is the creator of the Meisner technique.
Yes.
And was a student of Stanislavski, the ultimate kind of teacher of method acting.
And that's the method that we were taught at Emerson College, the Stanislavski method.
Right, right. And so the Meisner method is a kind of variation on those tools, and different teachers for Lee Strasberg and Uta Hagen, right? They took Stanislavski's work and they refined it but took things that they felt they wanted to apply to it or to enhance it in a way.
And so each of them went off on their own twist.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah, but still staying true to the root of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first teacher I had in Philadelphia was a man named Sidney Kay, and he was a student of Sanford Meisner at the neighborhood playhouse. And when I finished with Sid, after a couple years, he suggested that I go to the playhouse. And I did, and had a chance to be taught by some great teachers as well as Sanford Meisner. So that's where my kind of training of character and relationships and scene work and the understanding of how to create characters really comes from, I think.
Now, where, because our audience doesn't really know everything you do and have done.
Mm.
So tell us a little bit about Bill Beretta.
Wow. That's a,
a loaded question.
Well, it's just, I'm trying to think of, you know, I don't want to be too boring here either, but, you know,
you are not a boring person.
Thank you. Well, just hang on. You'll see. So I guess as a kid, I could just go there real quick and I'll jump. But as a kid, I have a very entertaining family.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, my grandfather, my grandmother, my parents, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, all very entertaining people. And this was something that was just the way our family was. And so almost every Sunday were family get-togethers, and
mm-hmm.
all the cousins would get together and put on a show for the adults. And, you know, the older cousins would come up with the ideas, and we would perform them. And it was like a variety show almost.
Oh, wow. And, now, where was this?
I have family in Philadelphia area and
mm-hmm.
in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up in Bucks County. So it was either people came to our house, or then we, you know, the next Sunday we went to my uncle's house in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It was always kind of a rotation, in a sense.
How nice, and you got to be with all your aunts and uncles and cousins.
Oh, it was mandatory. You know, that's what family
right.
was. Is that you,
we had that too.
Right? You have to be with your family. So that's what I grew up with was just a family get-together and always kind of a party, you know, having fun and coming up with things to do to entertain ourselves and each other. And so that's, I believe, you know, where I really wanted to, or at least where I started to think this is something that I wanted to do, was I was making people laugh in my family.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like, okay, this is fun. And my brother, who's 4 years older, who I know you've had on
Gene.
The show, Gene, yeah, he really was a ringleader and the creative kind of force behind our childhood.
Really?
So he would come up with, oh, yeah, absolutely. He would come up with what we were going to do pretty much on the weekends or during the week. He found a camera, a movie camera that was like my grandfather's or something, and then
mm-hmm.
he decided he would write a script and a story, and then we would act it out. And I was always in these productions that he would come up with. And so aside from home movies, and he would bring in the neighborhood kids and family members, it was,
wow.
you know, he was like the neighborhood director.
Another production by Gene Beretta.
Absolutely, yes. And he did animation with clay. He was always very curious and was not hesitant to find out how to do these things. And so he one day decided upon himself to write to Jim Henson to find out how do you make Muppets.
Mm-hmm.
And made this creative, because he's an artist. He's a author illustrator for children's books.
Right, we're giving away two of his books today if people want
great.
To call in.
We're
giving away The Bat Can Bat and The Secret
That's
Garden of George Washington Carver.
Another great one. His books are really, I love them. And so he drew all the time, and he created his own letterhead at the age of 14. And it had a bunch of different characters in it, and many were Sesame Street characters. And so he
mm-hmm.
wrote to Jim asking, how do you make a Muppet? And sure enough, this is back in 1974, Jim sent instructions back with a beautiful letter encouraging, you know, my brother's work and
mm-hmm.
his artistic abilities. And then Gene said, okay, let's go. We're going to go to the foam and fabric store. we're going to make Muppets, or, you know. You know, and so we did, and that's my first kind of exposure to puppeteering. And I never thought that's what I would do. and I went more in the acting, pursued acting, and, you know, did local plays and went off to school and then ended up on a my first kind of big break was when I moved out to California. I did a show called Dinosaurs on ABC back in the 90s. It was about a family of dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
And
which dinosaur were you?
I was the father. I was inside of this big walk-around character named Earl Sinclair, who was kind of like the Jackie Gleason character.
To the moon, Alice.
To the moon, Alice.
To the moon.
That was a Jim Henson and a Walt Disney production. And so I was my first opportunity working with some of the Henson performers.
And this was in the Dinosaurs?
This is Dinosaurs, yeah.
Okay.
And so I feel like I'm just babbling on here. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. I'm loving it.
Well, and so just earlier, if I could just, I'll back up just for a second, but in the 80s, I met Brian Henson. We worked at a theme park in Pennsylvania called Sesame Place, and it was themed after Sesame Street. And
so what did you do there?
In the summer. Oh, well, aside from smoking when I wasn't supposed to be smoking on the property, I helped kids.
Did
get
you
on
say
rides.
When you weren't supposed to be smoking, or what you weren't supposed to be smoking?
No, when.
Ah, okay.
When I wasn't supposed to be smoking. I helped kids get on rides. I cleaned bathrooms. I was basically a guest relations type of. Is that right? Guest relations or guest? I can't remember what we were called. We basically were the people that walk around in our uniforms and help people do all sorts of things. And so Brian came there for the summer, and we met and became friends. And about 10 years later, keeping in touch occasionally, when he moved out to California to create this show after his father had passed away, we got together, and I ended up auditioning for that suit character because I thought, you know what, I just need to get close. I need to get close to the work.
And this is the Dinosaurs.
Right, this is the Dinosaur show. And I said, I don't care what I do, Brian, I'll sweep floors, I'll pull cables. Is there anything? And he said, well, there's this really hard stuff where people get inside of these big rubber suits.
That weigh almost 100 pounds.
Yeah, yeah, especially this character. He was probably the heaviest, I think.
Really? How much did he weigh?
I think in total he was about 85 or 90 pounds.
Wow. That's a lot to haul around, buddy.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And about 25 of it was just on my head. So I went and I auditioned for that, and I thought, you know, I'll take my training, which is what I learned at the Neighborhood Playhouse, which is a lot of the Meisner technique is about interpreting dialogue through your behavior, right? So you memorize your dialogue, and then hopefully you're telling the story through your doing,
right?
It's not always about the words, it's about the behavior. And so this was, in my mind, a perfect opportunity to interpret this character's dialogue through the behavior because I was going to solely be inside of this suit. I didn't have, I didn't manipulate the mouth and I didn't say the words. But
so you didn't do the voice at all?
Correct, right. There was another amazing puppeteer when I first started the show named Dave Goles, who is the incredible Gonzo from The Muppets.
Oh!
And Dave, one of the greats of all Muppet time. So I was fortunate to work with him. And then after the first season, he ended up doing something else, and another great puppeteer came along named Mac Wilson. and he and I finished out the series, but he was the guy, and Dave both were the ones who manipulated the head. It was an animatronic head, and mm-hmm. they controlled the jaw and the eye blinks and the expressions, and I moved, you know, the head around the neck and the body and did all the behavior. So it was a kind of an unspoken dance, in a sense, between us, because it was all about listening. I needed to listen specifically right. to what he was saying so that I could interpret it and make it feel like it was all one thing.
Now, how long did that go?
That was, we did 91 to 94. I think we did 65 episodes total,
wow.
I think.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a huge undertaking back then. I think back then each episode was about $1.5 million, somewhere around there, which was highly unusual. We had a lot of big characters, a lot of amazing crew, people that just, I tell you, it's actually probably still my most fond experience of anything that I've ever done.
Really?
Yeah, because it was a very hard production to get through because of the nature of these characters and the size of the sets and the time that it took to get people in and out of costumes and to build and create and to write these shows. I mean, brilliant writing as well. And
who wrote the scripts for them?
Oh, well, there were many writers in the writer's room, but mm-hmm. A guy named Michael Jacobs was mm-hmm. the executive producer, along with Brian Henson, mm-hmm. Also just a bunch of other great writers who now have moved on to do other great things and other great shows. It was really a breeding ground for some amazing talent.
So was this when Brian took over the Henson
correct.
Company?
Yeah, this was, if I'm not mistaken, his first kind of big production after his father passed and assuming the responsibility of running the company. Yeah, it was a big deal.
And now he and his sister Lisa still have some part of the company.
They run the Jim Henson Company. You know what, I'm going to correct myself. I think the first big undertaking after his father passed away was a phenomenal movie called Muppets Christmas Carol, which Brian directed.
Uh-huh.
So I think that was probably the first one, and then Dinosaurs came.
Mm-hmm. So faster. You did some work on Sesame Street, too.
A little bit, yes, briefly. Really, not so much on the show, but I did some home videos that they created where they wanted mm-hmm. to give Elmo a dad. And so I was part of a couple home videos. One was called Potty Time, which was mm-hmm. about teaching kids how to go to the bathroom mm-hmm. and use the potty. And then we did...
Which is a job in itself.
Yes, that's right. and we did some very special videos for parents who are away serving our country. Mm-hmm. So... It was about, you know, Elmo's dad goes away to war, and it's about how the families deal with their parents being away in a situation like that. And I love doing those. I love that character. His name was Louis. It was my little tribute to Louis Prima.
Yes.
And then I couldn't continue doing it. I'm on a different coast. And so a very talented puppeteer that I asked if he would mind taking on the role, his name is Tyler Bunch, and he has since become Elmo's dad, and he does a phenomenal job.
Okay, so now how did Louis Prima get, how did you involve Louis Prima in this?
Well, by just vocally and his attitude, the character.
Okay, and who is his wife that he sang with? That my dad loved.
Keeley Smith, probably.
Yeah.
They were a great duo. An infamous duo. But
absolutely.
Yeah, Louis, I just, for some reason, I just thought Elmo's dad was from New Orleans for some reason, and they allowed me the freedom to kind of create that personality. So, you know, I just kind of did something like this, you know, and Elmo, come here, son. So just this kind of sweet, and Louis Freeman had a very kind of sweet demeanor about him.
Yes.
When he would be interviewed, at least. And I just thought that would be lovely just to say, Elmo, come here, son. Let's talk about, you know I love you. And so that's just where I just thought that would work well with this, that situation.
A lot of people don't understand how someone creates a character.
Mm.
So what is your process in creating a character, a new character?
Well, you know, I tend to draw on usually people around me, influences around me, or not necessarily just around me, but influences in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it depends. For example, if there's a script that's written and I'm looking at that script, I start to do something that actually Frank Oz, who is, if you know Frank Oz, who created Miss Piggy and Fozzie Bear and Bert on Sesame Street and Grover and the Cookie Monster. And he gave me advice, which was to give yourself as many specific details about that character as you can.
That kind of goes along with the theory of acting of the Stanislavski and my
absolutely
as many attributes and characteristics that the character has.
Yes. And I did, and that is certainly something.
I'm losing you. You keep going in and out.
Oh no! Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. And that's something that I certainly learned from Meisner. But this was even going further, or at least it didn't sink into me as much. But it was about how specific can you be? What side do they get out of bed on? What kind of toothpaste do they like to use? What's their favorite meal? Do they like to dress casual? Or all of these questions that you can ask yourself,
right,
it gets you closer to what you think that character might be like. And then I think once you start to figure out who they are, then I think you start to find a voice for who they are. What their perspective is on life, how they see things. Are they very defensive? Are they very open? Are they happy all the time? Are they miserable but cover that with false happiness? You know, there's all kinds of choices you can make.
Right.
Insecurities, right? Exactly, right. And so I start, I think, mostly from who are they. And then once I have that to a degree, then I start to think about what that sounds like. And then the voice kind of follows. And with puppets, it's interesting. Sometimes you have a puppet that has already been created. And so you're trying to find, based on what that puppet looks like, a voice for that character and a personality that supports the voice and vice versa. Sometimes there isn't a puppet. For example, a character called Johnny Fiamma.
I want to talk to him in a little while.
Well,
after our break.
You want to talk?
After our break, I want to talk to him.
All right, doll. We'll talk after the break. Let me get off. I'll give you back the bill. Hold on, please. So he's excited. He wants to talk to you. So like Johnny Fiamma, I actually performed that character as myself. It was a character that I developed as me. And I did some kind of workshopping and videos that my brother and I created where they were two brothers, the Fiamma brothers. So I was Johnny and he was Frankie. Mm-hmm. And then when I started working with the Muppets, I tried to find a way of introducing that character. And so that character started with me, that I had developed him, and then it was about collaborating with these brilliant artists, designers, puppet builders, to figure out what he looked like and how, what kind of puppet he would be.
What does he look like?
He's a cross between myself, Robert De Niro from Casino, and the Green Olive, basically. That's kind of what he looks like. Yeah, so the characters for me, I think, start with who they are, as I said, and then the mm-hmm. voice comes after.
And then
go ahead, sorry.
No, you were going to finish something, and I rudely interrupted you. I apologize.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, you know, some of my characters are based on my grandfather and mm-hmm. my father, and Pepe the King Prawn is based on my wife's aunt. You know, there mm-hmm. are little pieces of them, parts of people, parts of my acquaintances and in my life that I draw on, and I think, oh, that could be fun. There's something interesting. Let's try that and see if that works. And it doesn't always work, but sometimes it does.
Is the puppet or Muppet created after you create the character or before?
It's both, actually. For example, Pepe was created after.
Mm-hmm. And he's the King Prawn? Muppet.
He is the King Prawn, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Another character named Bobo the Bear was a pre-existing puppet that had been in other Henson productions over the years. And when we started to workshop and to try and come up with some characters for a show called Muppets Tonight,
mm-hmm.
They brought in a big rack of puppets. And,
what?
Did people hear him when he says that? He just said you have a caller.
We have a caller? Hello, you're on the air. This is Cindy Gilman with Bill Beretta.
Hi, Cindy. And Bill, I'm very excited to get to speak with you.
Hi.
Oh, thank you.
What's your first name?
Oh, my name is Honey Goodenough. And
Honey. Would you like to speak to Bill?
I would love to.
Okay, Bill.
Hi, honey.
Hi, honey. What a wonderful name.
Oh, no, it's just Goodenough. Honey Goodenough.
That's even better. Bill, there's a character for you.
I know, she should be in a James Bond film or something.
No, I'm already my own character.
Wait, what?
yes, I'm also a puppeteer, and I have a confession. I have a crush on Pepe the Prawn.
You have a crush on Pepe the...
I've got a crush on you, honey pie.
and he's not as shellfish as they all say he is.
Well, I think you were just talking to him.
See, we're talking all day.
Bill, I wanted to ask you, I know you're talking about developing characters, and I wanted to ask you about the puppet specifically and how the puppet works, because he's just such a beautiful rod puppet. And I also would love to hear about how Pepe specifically came about, okay? I love his little intonations with that, okay? and I would love to know your thoughts about current climate and about how we're being culturally sensitive. How would you advise puppeteers who are developing characters possibly of other cultures? How do you feel that fits in this current climate? Many of us are creating shows and we want to represent diverse populations, but that also means that frequently in single-person puppet shows, we are adapting other cultures or learning about them, and where you feel that fits in this current climate?
That's a lot. That's a long question, Bill.
Yeah, let me see if I'll, and maybe you can help me as I go through. But I'll start with the first part, I think, which was
how did you create?
I don't remember.
What?
I don't remember what the first part was. The first part was about Pepe,
oh,
correct?
And the first question was about the rod puppet itself.
Got
and,
it.
Well, he's
what
a
kind
rod,
of puppet is he?
He seems to be a rod puppet. Who built him for you, and how he worked? And then the second is about creating culturally diverse characters.
Okay, so he was built by a phenomenal builder who is no longer with us, sadly. A man named Eric Engelhart. And
I love Eric.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Thank you
wonderful
for honoring
guy.
Him and his work. He is very beloved.
Pepe would not exist without him. And so he is a lot like Rizzo the rat puppet, which is inside of the body is a dowel that comes down from the neck. And at the bottom is a little ball. And that ball sits in the palm of your hand, right? It kind of rests or pushes against the palm of your hand. The dowel goes up into the head. And then there's some incredible mechanism that somebody came up with that I have no idea how it really works, except that when it's kind of a sleeved, I should say, it's kind of a sleeved dowel that when I pull down on the sides of this dowel inside, it makes his head go up and down. Right. So if I pull down, his head goes up. If I let go, his head goes down. And then
so let me ask you something, Bill.
Yeah,
what can Honey do with this celebrity crush he has on Pepe?
Pepe's got a lot of women, okay?
You've got a lot of women?
See, we got a lot of women. I got a lot of women friends, okay? So we just have to keep in touch, you know, and, you know, you can face chat me or something. I don't know.
Oh, maybe
we'll
you can throw Honey a kiss.
I can throw Honey a big kiss, okay?
Okay.
So
ooh,
Pepe,
yeah.
I'll just kind of... I'll just quickly see. So Pepe is based on my wife's aunt, who was from Madrid, Spain, and I just felt that she always said statements. So she would always end.
Bill, you keep going in and out again.
Oh, no. How's this? Is this better?
Hello?
Is this better?
Go back a little to where you were.
How about this?
Nope.
No. Good?
You know what?
Oh, no.
We'll just take a short break. We'll take a short commercial break. Honey, stay with us, and we'll take a short commercial break, and we'll get a better position for Bill with his phone after these messages. Okay, Doug?
Cindy Gilman is a certified holistic and Reiki and energy practitioner, as well as a spiritual medium. As a spiritual medium and empath, she conducts individual personal consults either by phone or in her office. All sessions are professional and confidential. For a phone consultation or in-office appointment, go to www.cindygilman.com or call 401-885-4115.
Okay, let me tell you a little bit about Tipsy Chicks. If you're looking for a unique, fun gift for a birthday, wedding, bachelorette, or just a girl's night out, you should visit tipsychicks.com. Oh, maybe Pepe can do that. Tipsy Chicks is a women-owned business that encompasses a variety of gift items. Their products are definitely original, whimsical, captivating, and cost-effective. From their super unique magnetic drink charms, and I think a lot of people are drinking wine over the last month in over 100 varieties. Tipsy Chicks has the perfect trendy gifts everyone will love. And they can even customize your gift if you like. You have to check out their website. Go to Tipsy Chicks, that's TipsyChicks.com for your fabulously funny gift needs. You're going to love it. And we are back. My guest today is Bill Beretta, creative extraordinaire, actor, director, character creator, puppeteer, worked with Jim Henson, does programs for the Henson Company, now a good part of it's owned by Disney. Bill, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is Honey still on the line?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, she is.
We'll give you one more question, honey.
So I'll finish up what I was maybe saying. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Yes, please.
Okay. So, honey, so darling, honey, sweetheart, I'm sorry.
Wait, is this Peppy talking or Bill?
No, it's Bill. I'm just being silly. So Pepe was based on my wife's aunt, who is from Madrid, Spain, and she spoke in this unusual way. She would say things like, "Hey, time to go to the mall, Bill, okay?" And I'd say, "Okay." And she would say, "Bill, you're wearing a black shirt, okay?" And I'd say, "Okay." And as I learned, I went to Spain with my wife and I met the rest of the family, and mm-hmm. she was actually known because there are several, her name was Maria Teresa, and there are several Maria Teresas in the family, and she was known as Maria Teresa, okay? And uh-huh. I just thought, what a fantastic thing. Huh. And
Peppy's a woman?
Well, he's based on a woman, yeah.
Oh, he's based on a woman.
Yes,
but he's a male puppet.
From. He is a male, definitely
okay,
a male.
Okay, because I got confused when you were talking about the cape and the...
Oh, no, so that's what I'm saying. So my characters come from, it could be a woman, it could be a child, it could be a man, it could be a dog, right? So mm-hmm. Pepe happens to be based on some characteristics that my wife's aunt had. And so that's kind of where he comes from. And then your last part of your question was culturally, I'm sorry, could you just one more time quickly tell me what that
culturally
was?
Diverse.
Oh, of course. I'm a puppeteer developing a solo show.
Yeah.
And I want to have a diverse cast. And I just thought... since you also have played a variety of diverse puppets, I think the power of puppetry is that you can create a puppet and play a completely different character from yourself. But how do you feel we respect in this culturally, like we're becoming more culturally sensitive, where do you feel the balance of that plus also being diverse? Like,
right. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know what, I mean, obviously, just my personal opinion. I really couldn't say what's best, but I guess from where I come from, I love the idea that, and part of what I think the Muppets are about is being able to be anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a French piece of cheese, you don't have to be from France. but I think the most important thing is that whether it's a person who is Spanish or English or French or Italian or Chinese, is that the characters are full and complete, and the the artistry, the manipulation is high quality. I think it's about being the best you can be at what you do, no matter who you are. So,
those are big words coming from you.
Well, but it would be wonderful.
Thank you, honey, for calling in.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Wonderful.
I don't know.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.
So, that was interesting that another puppeteer would call on.
Well, I guess that's what I do, so you would think.
Well, of course. So is Johnny Fiamo there?
Yes. Would you like me to get Johnny for you? Hold on one second, Johnny.
Johnny.
Yeah, Cindy would like to talk. Hello, dear.
Is this Johnny?
Yes, is this Cindy?
Yes. Oh, you're so cute.
Oh, come on. I know I am, but you don't have to say it so loud.
I understand that you think that you are one of the greatest crooners alive.
I'm sorry, did you say I think? Did you say that I think I am?
Well,
or that I am?
Well, let's find out.
Well,
I thought we might sing a song together.
Oh, you have a song in mind? What would you like to do, dear? I can do anything, really. I mean, you just say it, I'll sing it.
Anything?
I say and sing. Yeah, I say and sing.
Uh-huh. Well, I purposely put on my full-length gown that I used to perform on.
Oh, lovely.
So I'm
wearing a tie.
Oh, you are?
Just a
necktie or a bow tie?
A necktie.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I thought we might sing a song together and called Young at Heart.
Oh, I love it. You know,
do you like that
when,
song?
Of course. You know, I actually helped arrange one of the compositions for Frank Sinatra back in the 60s, but I didn't receive credit, unfortunately. But
Aww.
Yes, I love the song. I love the song.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah. What key would you like to do it in, dear?
B flat.
You have a key?
B flat.
Let me see.
That's a joke.
Where is that? Let's see. Very, very fair, fair, very
fair,
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 fairy tales. How about there? Fairy
tales. That's good. Fairy tales.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Can come true. It can, happen to you.
If you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find. If you're young at heart. You can go to extremes.
With impossible schemes.
I think this is the wrong key for me.
You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams.
And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know?
Hey, I think we did good. Oh, you want to keep going? All right. Should we keep going?
Yeah, let's finish it up.
Oh, all right.
Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart. For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart.
And if you should survive, that's fine.
To 105.
Look at all you derive out of being alive.
And here is the best part.
Best part, yeah.
You have a head start. If you are among the very young at heart. I am honored that I got to sing with you.
Well, I know you are. I know you are. And
a little modest there, Johnny.
Oh no! It's just reality of things. You know, I don't want to brag. I'm just saying I understand how you feel about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I'm happy to have you on. Is there any other caller, Doug? We want to give away some of these books that Gene wrote. 888 727-6008. Is there a guest? I mean, a listener?
I guess not. No.
And I really wanted to give a... I'm sorry?
I said, what should we talk about? I know you want to give away the books. I'll take them.
I was actually hoping my grandson would call in.
Oh, well, where is he? Let's get him.
It's 888-627-6008. If you're out there, call in so we can send you a book. Or if you're listening and you have children or grandchildren, Bill's brother Gene is a wonderful children's book author and illustrator. And we have two books to give away. The Bat Can Bat. I wonder if that's a baseball book. And The Secret Garden of George Washington Carver. Hello?
Hello. I'm still here. The Bat Can Bat is a great one. That's about, am I going to get it wrong? Homonyms? Or
homophones?
No, I can't remember. Words that sound...
They're onomatopoetic. They sound like what they are.
Yeah, or they're spelled the same, but they can mean two different things.
Right.
What kind of word is that? I don't know. I'm not the grammar scholar.
So what project are you working on now?
Well, nothing Muppets related at the moment.
Okay.
Trying to create some things on my own. I have a character that, since we've been in this situation with the virus and people being staying at home, I've been having some fun working with my son on a little project called Jules's Little Gems, which is on a YouTube channel.
And it's on there now.
It is. There's four short episodes where we're just having fun, trying to, in a humorous way, spread the word about, you know, staying home and doing some of these things that we need to unfortunately be doing, but that are really important.
Now, is Jules a person or an animal?
Jules is a bear. He's a very large bear.
Mm-hmm.
And the situation is that he, at this moment in time, is being allowed to stay with a mother and her son in their house until, you know, people are allowed to go out. So he's kind of spreading the word of hibernation from the bear's perspective. He's telling people out there, you know, that it's a good thing to hibernate, to be safe. And we're just having some fun doing that.
Mm-hmm. And what part does your son, how old is your son?
Jackson is 16.
And what part does he have in this process?
Well, he's, aside from being in them with the bear, so he's, you know, he has to put up with the bear's antics in a sense. So aside from being a great counterpart, he also helps me with some ideas, and I always run the scripts by him, and he's got great ideas, and he has definite ideas of what he thinks his character should do and say, and how he should respond. So we collaborate on it, and it's been great. I really love doing it with him.
That's excellent. It's so great that you can work with your son.
Yeah.
And that's on YouTube now?
It is. It's a YouTube channel called Jules' Little Gems.
Where are some of the former shows that you were involved with? How can people...
I was hoping
that before, we've only got 3 minutes left, that I might talk to the Swedish chef.
Ah.
I need some ideas. Is he there?
I'm not sure. I can certainly check, but I don't know how well you're going to understand what he has to say, but you can try, I guess.
Let's see. We only have 3 minutes, so... Hello, Swedish chef. I wondered if you could tell me how to make Swedish meatballs.
Ooh, it's pretty good to make meatballs. Here we go, Stacey. The boo and the moo moo. The moo moo boo and the boo and the boo. 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 Okie dokie.
Excellent.
Okie dokie.
Well, I think I got everything that the chef said. I'm not quite sure how
sure
he
either.
Told me to save them.
I don't know what he said.
But we only have a minute left, and if people want to know more about you, you do have a Twitter account, and that's Bill Barretta, BillBarretta. Or you can go to imdb.com, which is the Internet Movie Database, and just put in his name. Bill, I want to thank you for today. This hour has flown by.
It did. Thank you so much for having me. I really
Oh, my pleasure. It's been a delight speaking to you, and it was nice that another young puppeteer called in.
Yes, yes, honey, thank you so much. If you're still listening, I appreciate it.
And so you stay safe, stay well. Thank you for today. Doug, thank you for everything you do for us. And don't forget those masks and gloves. And be kind to each other. Do something nice for someone this week. God bless. This is Cindy Gelman. Discover your potential.
Hello. I am Ron Hayden of Voices Unlimited. I've been writing and voicing radio and television commercials, toys, games, corporate sales and training, and so much more for over 25 years nationally and globally. I will write or co-write and voice your radio or TV spots, on-hold messages, or whatever you need. In one of my many voices or celebrity voices, custom characters, or an announcer voice. A great gift idea. Have me make a celebrity phone call for a special occasion. Just go to www.ronhayden.com to sample my voice demos. Email me at rhvoices1@msn.com. I look forward to working with you in a high voice, a low voice, or just my voice.